Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
My name is Cooperage McLean. Hello, Will Duggan. Hello, Laura Lex. Please come for a lovely day out at the gorgeous island at the top of Wales, Ynys Môn, aka Anglesey.
Fucking full kit sided wanker, don't you laugh so much? Are you recording?
Yeah.
Where are you going? Are you really sponsored? Do you need that much kit to go for a cycle?
So it's 9:21. And we are on the road to Anglesey. And Will, it appears, should have had coffee before we left.
No, I'm not in a bad mood. I just think this prick, look at him.
He's just cycling.
No, mate. But the effort. He could have got an extra 5 miles if he just put some jeans on.
Also, he's of an age where he's not cycling to work. Why come out and do your fancy road cycling while everybody's driving to work?
Yeah, good point. Fuck off the retired.
No. They are our main demographic.
Not for this.
No?
They're the main demographic at the places we go.
Who is this for?
Laura, I wish I knew. Shemai.
Hello.
Hello.
Shemai. We've set foot on Ynys Môn.
So we've parked up. We're sort of just past the bridge, maybe half a mile onto the island. And we've parked the car up. Our family have lost each other. And this is where, so I've actually been here with Kiri before. And it's sort of like, it's not a big thing, it's just a nice thing to do. You walk through a wooded area. You go down a hill, and then you get onto this church island. Now, it's going to sort of reveal itself down here, I hope.
It's not for the faint-hearted, is it? This little slope.
Wait, is it the right way, though? I think so.
Will's immediately got us lost. We're just in some woods, really.
I think it's down here.
Okay, I trust you. Okay, so we're going to a little thing called Church Island. Which is a sort of war memorial graveyard?
No, it's a war memorial. I think it's just a graveyard.
Okay.
I think it's, but yeah, when I was here previously, it's very much, it's like a little causeway. It's only accessible by foot. You can't drive there. And then it's just a church with a graveyard. But it's really interesting because some of the graves are really old. It's the kind of thing that I think if you lived near here, you could easily not do.
Yeah.
And you should. If that isn't what natural treasures is, I don't know what it is.
I'm interested in the history of Anglesey and Ynys Môn because it's so featured in all the books I've just been reading about Boudicca, and like this is where the dreamers in that story lived. This was Mona, you know, it was this unobtainable island that the Romans couldn't get to.
Yeah, I suppose, because we've driven over the bridge to get here, and that, as we mentioned, was built 1850, which is about 850 years after the Romans came.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, I can see it.
Yeah.
It's just to our right, through those trees. Oh, I think it must be low tide.
Which I imagine is good, because if it's tidally accessible.
Yeah.
If I'd bought you here, got you lost, then gone, well, we can't get on.
Oh my goodness, this is just unimaginably beautiful.
So, it's not only accessible at low tide, but it's obviously a very old, like, sea break, wall break from the Menai Strait. It's Ynys Cilio, which is Cilio's Island in Welsh, and he's a 7th century saint.
Whoa, so 600s, okay, so yeah. This is...
So his dad was a king, and he became a monk and built the first church here in 637, and the building that we can see is from the 1200s, the 13th century, and it still has services. It's quality.
Wow, so the earliest graves on here are from the 18th century. There are some older ones set into the floor of the church.
It is a war memorial, like you said, Laura, but it's not entirely a war memorial. There is one as well.
Oh my goodness. Okay. And apparently there's a lot of plants that you can look at on the walk around that are, like, obviously exceptionally tolerant of seawater. You can see all sorts of seabirds out playing in the water.
What's nice, so where we are, off, so we're off, you don't know the geography of the UK. Ynysmon, Anglesey, is a small island off, as Laura said, the northwest tip of Wales. Now, the Welsh language is making a resurgence and has been for about 30 years. But before that, the English government really tried to get rid of the Welsh language. This is one of the areas where...
Was it illegal?
Yeah, at times it's illegal to learn, illegal to speak. Mm. The English couldn't marry Welsh speakers, sort of thing. But this area remained Welsh-speaking. In fact, I went to university with a guy who was first language Welsh. He was Welsh-speaking, he had to learn English at school because he didn't speak the English of it. Matthew Jones.
It's a nice language. Would you want a sticking-up head gravestone or a lying-down flat plaque kind of a thing?
So, ideally, I'm going to be cremated, rather not be buried. But if I had to be, like a flat one, I think. Something a bit old-fashioned about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, this person here, William Jones, buried here, died in 1956, aged 83. So when was he born? In like...
1873?
Yeah, 1873. Incredible. What does it look, they're sharing? Look at this. That grave we see there is Elizabeth Jones, her husband William, who she was older than. And also Geoffrey Lloyd Davis and his wife Vera Alice Davis. Now I wonder if that's, this looks quite a new gravestone, I wonder if that's just...
Yeah, they were the same age.
Yeah, you're right. A stone to their memory, or are they buried there?
Well, I know we just buried my grandpa and sprinkled some of his ashes at sea and some of them with my grandmother. So I assume he'll go on her headstone with her.
No, what I mean is, I get that, the husbands and wives, but it was two husbands and wives.
I wonder if they're daughters or something.
Maybe.
Though.
Maybe.
Like son and his wife. Oh, there's some people kayaking out on the water, so that's obviously another thing you can do when you're here for the day.
If you believe in any kind of afterlife, couldn't want a better view, could you?
Look at that house over there.
Yeah.
I wonder who lives there. So, looking out... Is that the bridge we just came in on?
Yeah.
Yeah. And just underneath it is this sort of big white house on its own little island with what looks like a palm tree. It's not.
But it bloody well looks like one. Oh God, that person under the water.
Are they doing rescuing?
I really hope so. Otherwise, just watching a man drown. Thank goodness there are.
Yeah, I think they're practicing writing themselves. Oh, look, here's a memorial bench. The feet of the bench are a gravestone.
That's a very fancy grave.
Yeah, there's like a weeping angel with a broken arm. Underneath a, like, metal cover, which you imagine plants have been grown up at points. That looks like a whole family plot there, doesn't it? Yeah, it's all really sort of does. Gated off. Big column made of marble.
An obelisk, yeah, from 1902.
Some of these graves look really quite new, don't they? I don't know whether they've just been done well or cleaned up recently or...
I wonder though if it's, because it's quite a small community and a lot of people, this guy here, Owen Jones, age 60, and his son who died in World War I.
Gosh.
Somewhere in France is a soldier's grave. Lies our dear son. That's lovely. Gets me that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm not one for, over mythologizing the military. When you go, oh God, there's a guy born here, and then, well, sad. Just sad, really. But the geography of the place is incredible.
Yes, it is. You can see why somewhere like this would become a church and then be like, that's why I want to put them to rest on this, like, peaceful little spitty sort of round bit of island.
Yeah. And quite nice that, you know, five graves ago was a guy who died in World War One, and a woman that died 10 years ago. Just like, it's not just history, it's part of the modern world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know, when I left university, I lived in a converted church that had become flats. And it had only been decommissioned like 20 years previously. There was a graveyard in the garden.
Huh.
And the council had to get in touch with all the families of the deceased to say, you know, we're going to move the grave from here to here. But there were two or three that they couldn't find any family of, just left them there.
Ooh.
So in the summer, you know, you see the kids play and just like run around the graveyards, which is kind of disrespectful, but also kind of lovely.
Would you feel disrespected if someone was playing where you were meant to be remembered?
Never mind that. This guy's called William Williams.
Ah, oh, but in brackets, Billy. I like it when they put like bracket stuff on there, like, hey, this is what he was actually. There's a little cottagey type thing that looks like it's used for maintenance of the island now. Oh, look at that epic crack down that one.
Yeah. Sorry, I think God likes you.
Up some steps that make me wish I wasn't wearing a jumper. And here's the war memorial.
A lovely view.
Gosh. The water is so incredibly greeny blue today.
And there we go, that's really...
There's a seabird or something flitting about in the water down there.
Just
in the middle of that sparkly bit, almost looks like it could be a seal.
I bet they get seals up here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Menai Strait, so we're on, isn't it? Like, what is that? Is it going to the Irish Sea? The North Sea?
Oh, I don't know what any of the seas are called. Well, this is lovely. And the thing with this place is, as well, it is just past the bridge. So if you're coming to Anglesey, why wouldn't you just grab a break?
Yeah.
Get a little...
You've got a view of Solaria National Park there?
Yeah, I mean, the mountains just peeking out over the trees. Incredible.
I've got a photo of the mountains, but it does all depend on how good Steve Jobs and his bits are, whether you can see it. But do you know what? Come and see it.
We're heading back off the island now, and I do have to say the path to it is actually brilliantly very good, straightforward, tarmacked. We just didn't come in on it. So we're going to go and meet a lady called Margaret, who is going to show us around. Now, Will, you're better at the Welsh pronunciations than me.
Stan.
Stan. So the W would just be silent. Okay, we're going to the Stan Heritage Museum.
Sultan.
We'll ask when we get there.
Yeah.
But either way, we're going to a heritage museum now. We're parked up. It's £1 for an hour's parking, or £3 for 2 hours. So we're going for the old one, and we'll come and put another one on in an hour.
So, Anglesey, if you're listening, we've forwarded you.
It's very beautiful around here. The houses, look at that house up there on that hill with the big glass front.
Nice.
Like, there's some money around here, isn't there?
The thing is, though, can I have my phone to take a picture of that nice house? Now, is there money around here, or is property quite cheap around here? Because, like, as lovely as it is, I can't see it being prime, you know, we must move here.
Really? It feels like that's exactly the sort of place people would go, we must move here.
Do you want to move here?
Well, not me, I'm busy.
Well, I'm busy too.
Well, all right then. So, we can see the cottage.
But it's definitely on that side of the...
Yes, but we do need to be on the other side of a small hedge. So we're going to work out how to do that. We've found the entrance to the museum. It's a little grassy track. And the cottage is like a little low-thatched cottage that you can see. There's a campsite nearby. Feels like a very holiday place. I mean, we're here at that heatwave in September. And we've seen like children riding these little hireable tractors and hireable canoes.
A man in a one-bed tent covered in sun cream.
Yes, drinking a beer with a big old dog. Yeah, so here we go. Croeso I Sutan.
Croeso.
Croeso, okay. Fully restored thatch cottage. Maintained and run by a group of volunteers which receives no regular external funding, so we will give generously. Oh, and then you turn the corner and there's this sort of lime-washed cottage with thatched roof and a little attached barn and a mangle outside. Oh, it's wonderful. Okay, and a little front door. Isn't this fantastic? Okay, so I think the idea of the museum is it's a cottage sort of preserving the way of life from this area. Okay, so going through the doorway, quite a high doorway.
Yes, but for us we're quite short.
Okay, and then, ooh, to our right, there's a sort of little pantry area.
Yeah, lots of different, like, earthenware, glassware.
Pots and pans.
A mincer.
Oh, yeah. And some sort of woven baskets. Because there's a restaurant over the road called the Lobster Pot. So imagine sort of fishing and lobster catching.
Yeah, we're right by the sea. So yeah, the pantry, you're right, it's the pantry.
Ah, this cottage is a typical example of a small Welsh homes of the period circa 1900, so about turn of the last century. To your right's the pantry, was always situated near to the door. The small window, slate slab and meat safe was the coolest part of the house.
So this is a typical example of like what small Welsh homes of the period. So yeah, turn of the last century.
And I just said all of that.
And I said, so yeah, you're right. I was agreeing with you.
Yeah, because I just read it off that sign.
What a wonderful day we're having.
Okay.
Warm in a bed.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, you just... It's amazing anybody survived, isn't it?
Yeah, and then a spinning wheel.
Okay, and then the main room, it says, is all, yeah, centred around the fireplace. Oh, isn't the sound dead in here? Yeah, so they've got... there's a fireplace, like, with a full range just to the right, under a real low beam, and then a little cupboard next to that. And then I love that they've got dressed-up mannequins at the table. And a little cuddly toy dog.
Bed's up there.
Oh, yeah. And then above the main room, there's a spinning wheel and a dresser. And then up, like a ladder into a... Well, you'd call it a mezzanine now if you were selling it on Rightmove, wouldn't
Certainly,
you?
Certainly, yeah. I'd say it's a mezzanine, one-bedroom mezzanine with sea view. I wonder, though, because if there's... Is it like a bunk bed bedroom?
Yeah, it looks like it might be.
You'll see in the picture we put up that there's a dad... A child, and then either another child who looks very old, or they didn't have a mum like
him. Yeah.
So it's just classic family. Maybe one or two beds up there.
Yeah.
And then another bed in there.
And it'd be toasty warm up there, and then, yeah, you carry on down.
That's interesting. We said this, you and I have said this in the past. Stone. It's really good because it's a very hot day outside. So it's that September heat wave. So my car said it was 26 degrees when we arrived. But it's quite cool in here. Because of the stone, but I bet in the winter with the fire going, it's quite warm in here. Why did we stop using stone?
It's probably not, well, it's very hard to get, I suppose. And some places do still use stone, but I guess bricks are just easier. What's interesting though is that it is like almost like a one room house.
Yeah.
But they've divided it up with wooden dividers.
It reminds me of, I don't know if you ever stayed at like, obviously, it's nothing like a cheap travel lodge. When you go in and everything's just on a corridor.
So yeah.
Homes in South London do this, whereas the corridor goes front door, straight, and there's nothing on one side, and the other side is all of the features.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's what the choice is.
this edition of the Bible says a Bible in plastic wrapping in front of us was one of only 32 which were the first to be printed in Wales in 1770.
By Peter Williams, who was a prominent leader of Welsh Methodism. You know, I was going to say it was something Methodist because behind us a couple of ornaments and a glass sort of like bowl that has inscribed on it, "Give us this day our daily bread." And I always think of Methodists when I think of that sort of... but yeah, so it's we can't look in the Bible, so I think it might well be
original. Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah, that's what it says.
Yeah, but it's like...
It's one of 32 to be printed in
that's
Wales.
That's amazing, it's just there.
Yeah. And then underneath the mezzanine... Oh, this must be Mum and Dad's room. Oh, you'd pay a lot for that in an Airbnb.
Do you know, me and my girlfriend went to stay in a little Airbnb in Whitstable.
Very cute.
And it was like a prefab sort of metal building on the outside. Looked like a sort of like a separate conservatory sort of thing. But the inside was done all... And it was made to look like that.
It's lovely.
Imagine going back to 1900 and telling just a wretchedly impoverished Welsh family, oh yeah, they'll pay hundreds of pounds a night for this. Would it, do you reckon it would have been like whitewashed back then? Is it lined, you said?
Maybe the light, because the light would bounce off it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I was wondering, like, did you say it was lime? Is that a thing?
I think so, isn't it? Lime is what makes things white.
Oh, I've got no, I honestly thought it was just white paint. Like, I'm...
No, I think it was lime they used originally. Yeah, because I would have thought it would be painted white just to make the candles bounce further, you know? And then in the end, it's a sort of gift shop type place.
I'm not entirely sure what this room would have been previously.
Probably. No, no. It doesn't say.
We have seen some examples of historical homes on our travels. And for this to be like a worker's cottage... It's decently...
Is there a High School Musical 3 puzzle for sale?
Oh, yeah. We've got to take a photo of that.
All these items have been given to Sutan, which is how you pronounce it, we were told, to be sold to help our maintenance fund. Okay, so there's a sort of gift shop, but it's donated items.
And honesty books, kind of thing.
Leave a donation and get a little treasure. Oh, that's very cute. And then you can... Head outside. Oh, here's another little signpost. So town represents a way of life common on Anglesey, once common on Anglesey, known in Welsh as a tithin. Tithin?
Tithin.
The simple type of dwelling, together with a few acres of land, formed the basis of an ancient landholding system throughout rural Wales. Life was hard. The diet was basic but nourishing. Okay.
Oh, a man called Quilliam Jones lived in this exact cottage till the 1960s.
Oh, is this a water pump here?
I believe so.
Yeah, it's a little old water pump next to the wall. Oh, and some farm machinery sort of left around so you can see. Oh, yes, and then this bit looks much more modern, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, is this examples of what they would have worn? Yeah. A genuine Welsh lady's hat. Isn't that tall?
It's honestly, yeah, it's the kind of thing, if a witch had seen Abraham Lincoln, they'd gone, oh, I'm one of them.
Yeah. An old abacus. Wow. Look at this cape. This cape is incredible.
Flat screen TV.
Ooh, and then there's some boards on the wall with a bit of a history of the area. Where the house stands at the top of the slipway is the site of the Church Bay Brickworks, which closed around 1908. The slipway was built to bring coal from ships and barges up to the yards to fire the kilns. All right. Samples of tiles can be seen in Sutan, and one tile has been set into the steps on the way down to the beach.
The settlers of Sutan. Yeah, okay.
Oh, there was a steamer called Annie that was wrecked in 1924.
Get wrecked.
The skipper and the crew were saved. Hooray. And apparently the captain spent the night here in the village.
The bell?
Oh, gave the ship's bells.
Yeah, which went to the lobster pot and disappeared.
Huh. All right. Oh, and a little bit about the restoration of the cottage. Oh, interesting. So they've rebuilt it from ruins.
And that's really nice. I like it when they do that. It's new. It helps unemployed people in the area learn the skills to restore. It's got them started in business.
Oh, that's cool.
I will say, an island this side doesn't need 80 new vouchers.
No. Oh, I bet everybody on Anglesey's come and done a school trip here.
Yeah, it's where you go. Year 4, year 5, year 6.
Mine was the Somerset Rural Life Museum. Well, we might do that for series 3, you know.
Fine. Thanks very much.
Thank you. So right by the museum, you just turn left out of the museum, follow the road round, and you come out in a little bay that is idyllic. I mean, wow.
Real nice.
Is that Ireland you can see over there? Or is that just cloud haze?
I don't know. Don't know. Do you know what? Yes.
Well, I'm going to take my shoes off and go and look in some rock pools. Are you going to be cross if I get sand in your car when we're done here?
No. Are you recording still?
Yeah, we're making a podcast. Oh, that's nice. One shoe off. That's a foot that's been in our shoe since about 8:45. Oh, yeah. Right, shoes are off. I'm getting on some sand.
My shoes are on, but I'm walking out the sand.
You're not going to go paddling?
No, I don't think I'm going to go paddling, no.
Why not?
I want to drive the car.
Yeah, but you can... What?
I'll put my wet feet back in my shoes.
Yeah, but they'd be dry by the time you walk back to the car.
I don't believe that. They'll be sandy and damp.
Growing up in Kettering, did you go on many beach holidays as a kid?
We went to North Wales quite largely. Went to Prestatyn. My granddad had a caravan, which is very nice. And sort of Kettering's quite central. So you sort of, you're not that far from your Bognor Regis's, your Lyme Regis's, your Hunstanton's.
You're really far from Lyme Regis.
Yeah, but you know, no way's too far from anywhere. We were in Somerset this morning.
Yeah. Considering how long it took us to get here, I do feel relaxed pretty instantly upon arriving.
Well, I imagine it was quite stressful sitting down while I drove the car for 6 hours.
It was. I had to entertain you. Do you know what this little bay reminds me of? For my honeymoon, we went to Crete. And on the south coast of Crete, there's a place called Matala, which is a bay very much like this one. A bay's a bay, isn't it?
You need a car to get in.
Exactly that. And so where the bay is on our right-hand side, like the stretch of land heads out, there's caves in the rocks there that have been around since, like, prehistoric times. But in the 60s and 70s, old hippies used to come and live in them, like Joni Mitchell lived in them for a while.
Wow.
And Bob Dylan and stuff. You know, it's a Greek beach, so it's slightly whiter sand and fancier, nicer than this, but...
More attractive sunbathers.
Yeah, I mean, I was there, so of course.
Wait. And Tom's fit.
Tom is so fit. I really fancy my husband. It's probably safe enough to leave my handbag, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll pop my shoes off then.
He's coming in the water. He's coming in the water. He's coming in the water. Will's coming in the sea. I'm just taking my... It's nice, isn't it?
It is nice.
Make that noise again for the listeners.
Oh. My friend Jamie doesn't like sand, the feeling of sand on him. And when we were in year 10, my school did like a trip to Brazil. One of those, you know, it's like two, I didn't go. You go trekking and whatever. Jamie went to Brazil on this thing and he didn't shut up about it for 2 years. But also, he went to Copacabana Beach, didn't take his socks and shoes off.
That might be the most British Midlands thing I've ever heard.
No, thank you, I don't like sand. What's that?
I don't know, is it just a really smooth rock?
I think so.
Can you hold the microphone while I roll my trousers up? There's no ice cream shop is my only problem with this beach.
Now, I have another problem with this beach. As lovely and idyllic as it is, it's just a little bit too far away from anything that isn't it. do you know what I mean? Like,
but like the whole of Anglesey, I mean, we got on one bit and have driven as far away from the bit that we got on as we could, and it took us, what, 40 minutes?
Oh, yeah. What I mean is, let's say you come for a day at the beach.
Yeah.
If you've forgotten, oh, it's fresh, that water.
But you used to drive from Kettering to Lyme Regis.
For a week.
Oh, no, it's okay. I thought that wave was going to be much bigger than it is. Oh, it is.
Well, I'll tell you this, listener. The second that icy cold Irish sea touched my ankles, I needed a wee-wee.
I love that feeling when the wave goes out and it pulls all the sand out from under your feet.
Yeah.
You do adjust to it quickly, don't you? Oh, that is heaven, actually.
It's probably as far as we can go before my shorts are getting wet.
Let's go and see what that big smooth rock is. There's a rock just to our left that looks like a buffalo lying down or something.
Part of me thought maybe it's ambergris.
What's ambergris?
Whale vomit, but it's really expensive. They make perfume out of it.
It looks like a big leather bag.
It does.
I read a lot of things about rock pooling around here, and now I'm here, I'm like, yeah, I bet that is great. I think they're just smooth rocks, William.
Yeah, well, they've been buffeted. I think it's quite dangerous to go into these rock pools. It's going to be slippy.
Yeah, also, I was just testing out on my foot. It's well slippy.
So we're not going to go to it, but it's here. Of course, one of the big problems of rock pools, you should never get in a rock pool because you'll upset the local animals.
Yeah, but who's getting in a rock pool? You squat by the edge.
We were about one step away.
No, we weren't. I was testing that rock. Where?
There, in front of the buffalo rock. I'm glad I got in the water, you know.
Good. You can't come on a beach holiday to Wales without getting in the water.
That's true. Also, the water's doing that thing where if you step it really quick, it goes Wiggly. I'll take a video of that.
Quicksand.
No, stop laughing. Oh my god,
we're just walking along the sea, minding our own business.
No, but this is exactly the issue I have. We go out, we have nice days, you spit on me for a start. No matter what I do, whether it be this or other things, something fucking ruins it.
So we're walking along the seafront, just sort of finding a sunbathing spot, and we were chatting about how nice like everything is. We found some quicksand that we played in for a while, like genuine quicksand. And then we were walking along talking about like, oh, if we retired, you know, you'd buy a caravan.
Just having a nice conversation, upsetting nobody.
And then nearby, there's a couple just playing in the sea a little bit.
And I'd noticed their dog, because it was nice. It was a Dalmatian with three legs, having a great time.
Yeah, he was having a great time frolicking in the sea.
I really liked him.
And then he came out the sea, up to Will, like stood next to Will as if Will was his owner, stood next to him. Like, not just near.
But not near me.
Like, practically stood on his foot.
Like I'd said heel, we'd come.
And then he just shook off all of the water all over Will. Very funny. Very good. Very funny. Don't worry, Will. I have found my driver's license to show the...
Tell the people why.
We have to show ID at the youth hostel tonight. That we're over 16. And I said on the phone, I was like, well, we've already left. I think, like, you'll see us and know.
I might deny them a look at mine, you know. Just take my hat off and go, look at me.
15-year-old Will Duggan. Very disappointed at the hand that life's dealt him.
This is 15-year-old Will Duggan.
Smokes 3,000 cigarettes a day just by the handful.
Not a glass of water since 2010. Just puts single malt whiskey on his cornflakes every morning. Has discovered the anti-moisturiser and bathes in it.
Bathes in white wine vinegar every evening.
His mattress is made of sandpaper and he sleeps face down.
We weren't sure if we were going to have time, but we think we are. We're going to try and go and see some standing stones.
When it comes to archaeology, Laura, I've always got time. They've been there for thousands of years. I can give them 15 minutes.
And I'm excited because, as I mentioned, when we first got onto the island, when we first got onto the island, the thing I associate Anglesey with is being like one of the last holdout places that the Celtic tribes of the British Isles sort of managed to hide from the Romans in. The Romans never conquered Anglesey, did they?
I don't think so, no.
Like, I think it was called Mona back then, but it was like a Druid island. So that's what sort of I relate this place with being. So yeah, I'm quite excited to go and see a standing stone. Also, big Outlander fan. I'm hoping we go back to another time. Where would you want to go back to if we went through these standing stones and ended up somewhere?
Maybe 2002?
Yeah, all right. Did you have hair then?
I had loads of hair in 2002. I had so much hair in 2002. Do you know, I had too much hair in 2002.
On your butt?
No, actually, please.
Okay, we've driven around to... is it Holyhead or Holyhead?
I think it's Holyhead.
Yes, I think so too. Okay. Driven around to Holyhead, to the standing stone. Unfortunately, the biggest standing stone ring on Anglesey is closed at the moment. I'm assuming for repair work?
Well, a lot of those, the older standing stones, you're not... The thing about standing stones is, there are so many of them, and they're not really... A lot of them aren't on public rights of way, and they're not... they're not things to go and see. So it might just be on someone's land. Also, if it's a bigger one or more important one, Stonehenge, you can't actually go into the stones. Yeah. Your hands are so acidic.
And mine?
Everyone's.
Oh.
Yours particularly.
I love it when you're on a subject that you really know about. Your tone really changes.
You can't... The thing is, guys, you... But yeah, there might just be... There's nothing... There's not so much to see or do there. They're kind of important just because they exist.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a very modern idea to be like, well, it exists, I want to see it. Some things aren't for you.
Yeah, I mean,
But this one,
this
is for
one
you.
Really feels like it's not for us because we've parked on some bloody double yellows.
So we parked definitely near an RAF training ground, killed a couple of fighter jets, and then there was a man in a high vis. And I was like, mate, can I just park it for a few minutes while I go and see the standing stone? And he went, oh, there's all these bays. That's where I park with my missus. So what he thinks me and Laura are up to, I don't think is innocent, is what we are in fact up to.
We just had a conversation about how we both find comedians that use dogging as a punchline very disappointing and boring and route one. However, it does feel like that's what this area is for. There's a Premier Inn over the road.
And also for that, because every single one of these bays does have just a single car in it with a couple waiting.
Yes, for us.
If you listen, you can hear the rumble. Yeah, the fighter jets.
That standing stone is taller than I thought it would be.
Yeah, they're a lot of them as well. They go a lot deeper because you're an idiot. So you probably can't go into the field.
No.
Because that will be somebody's land, somebody's right of way. So it's your classic standing stone. It's on top of a...
Is that a menhir?
I don't know.
What poo is this? Goat poo?
Yeah.
Cool.
So it's a ditch with a barrowy look. So this is...
I mean, it's
menhir.
You can get in there.
Oh, great, menhir is just Welsh for standing stone.
And in French, because that's what Obelix made, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. All right, so it was set in the early Bronze Age. So guys, it's not me. I'm out. It's after mine. 2000 to 500 BC of the Bronze Age. Burials of that period. So it's a burial.
It's your Stone Age.
Yeah. So I end when this begins.
A guidebook to the ancient monuments of Anglesey is on sale at Beaumaris Castle. Yeah, but they wouldn't let us in. So we tried to get permission to include Beaumaris Castle in this episode, and they were having none of it.
So yeah, it's good. It's really old. You're not allowed to touch them. Don't touch it. Yeah, they're under the care of the Secretary of State for Wales. I wonder who that is.
It's quite curvy, isn't it?
Yeah, man.
I'm not going to touch it. I'm going to be really good because I do like preserving this kind of thing. But so somebody moved it here.
Yeah, and also erected it. So you get standing stones and recumbent stones.
Right.
Recumbent stones are just flat.
That bird's touching it.
That bird's a bird. It's cool.
Get shot by the Secretary of State for Wales if you're not careful.
So... Imagine that. Just a bloke in a suit taking out ravens.
It almost looks wooden. It's got real, spirally grain through it.
But if you think, yeah, it does. It looks almost, they say wooden, petrified almost and stuff on it. But it shouldn't be like that. It's been put up by someone at a time. So there you go, it's a standing stone.
Just just driving to our next destination, and honestly, the view is absolutely incredible. That is, so that's Snowdonia, is it, over there?
Yeah, the national park, Snowdonia National Park. I don't know if we can see Snowdon, the peak, and if we can, which one it is. But it's just incredible, isn't it? It's like Lord of the Rings, and
yeah.
It's just incredible.
It's a real, like, we're getting sort of towards the evening now, it's 6:20, and there's sort of misty sun. You know when sun gets a bit misty? That's
yeah.
Sort of settling in. So it just looks a bit vague and beautiful. And I was just saying to Will, I think, like, there's a couple of houses back there that overlook, there's like a valley, and then just these mountains just spring up out of, really, it's not like the hills get bigger and bigger and then it's there. It's like doop-de-doop, rolling countryside, boom, mountains. We've pulled up in a car park, a raggedy-ish car park. Will, why have you brought me here?
We are at the village with the long name.
Okay.
So this
now,
is...
Now, I'm going to have a go at pronouncing it. Lanvir Pul Gwyngil Goger U... And that's all I can see.
Okay, so as far as I know, it's... Llanfair pro gwyngir gogerith yn dropis antasilio gogoch.
I love it.
Now, we'll ask Ciri, who is and speaks Welsh, but I think I did a pretty good job. So, it's a very, very small village, and...
Has it always been called this, or did they extend the name to win some sort of longest name anywhere?
So,
prize?
In English, it means something like... The Pool of St. Mary with the blah, 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 blah. It's really long. But
it looks like it's got the word brilliant in it.
It also has almost Robbie Williant.
Mm.
Kiri used to do a joke that it changed its name to attract more tourism. But we'll ask her about it when we talk to her.
Yeah.
Should we get a nice photo of you underneath the sign?
Yeah, and maybe a drink in that pub over there.
Finally. Finally. A fucking pint. So, here we are. Had a lovely day out. We've decompressed and we're sat down now to have a nice chat with my friend and yours, Ciri Pritchard-McLean. Hello, Ciri.
Hello. Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
This is so nice because we haven't actually got to do one of these face-to-face yet.
Oh, really?
They've all been, like, over the computer.
We had a lovely time. We thought we'd have a chat with you about why you love the island, what we should call the island, your favourite things, and then the little tidbits that you want to share with our audience.
Okay, great.
Right, yeah, here's my first question. Do we call it Ynysmon, Anglesey, or my preferred one, Mona?
Oh, Mona, interesting. Well, I guess it's who you hold in greater reverence. So Mona is what the Romans called it.
Oh, okay.
It's the amazing thing about the island is it's been incredibly important to lots of influential people over the course of history. So the Romans called it Mona, which is sort of where this Morn comes from. And there is still a village, not really a town, on the island called Mona, which holds our biggest and best car boot sale every Sunday.
Yes.
I'm quite sad you can't, but it's the only way that we know how to truly show reverence is to sell some rusty tools on a blanket every Sunday.
We'll come back a weekend. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, it's worth it. If you're, my partner and I went a couple of weekends ago, and I am very lucky. I do a radio show on Sundays from BBC Radio Wales in Bangor, and I was like, right, I need to be there at 12, so let's get up really early. So we got there as it opened at 7 o'clock, paid our pound into a bucket, it's that kind of vibe. And then we went to a store with a guy and bought a ashtray, which I'm sure you're going to partake in at some point.
Nope.
Well, we went and bought this ashtray because we got lots of friends who smoke and we don't want cigarette butts, so we got this nice ashtray. And the guy said it was like 7:05, it opens at 7, he said, "Do you want my first sale?" And we were like, "Yeah, I should think so." And he was like, "I've been here since 5. And I was like, "Well, no one else is here until 7 o'clock. So I guess get here at 6:30.
Just sat in the dark. This is unbelievable.
But yeah, it's one of those places where you have to like bring your own toilet roll. And there's loads of sort of like burger vans and loads of uncastrated dogs wandering around. It's a great experience if you're ever back here on a Sunday. I do recommend Mona car boot sale. So Mona was the Roman name. And then I had always thought that Anglesey was the anglicised version of the name. So have been in sort of respect of, I guess, learning the Welsh language, but also appreciating how much history we're losing by losing the Welsh names of places and taking on the anglicised versions. I've got a great example of that later. I've been trying to call it Ynys Môn. Ynys just means island, and then Môn. And it's known, it's got a few names. The island is known as Môn Mam Cymru, which is Môn the Mother of Wales.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's also been known as the Breadbasket of Wales because we grew so much wheat here, which is why there's so many mills now derelict. There's only one working one, which needs its sails repairing. It basically provided all the sort of wheat and the bread for the whole of Wales. And it's also known as the Nine of Wales, and Nine is an Orthwalian word for grandma. It's seen as sort of like an overseer of the country of Wales, which is a lovely thing. Anglesey actually is from the Iron Age, and S-E-Y denotes an island, like Guernsey and Jersey. And then Angle is from Ingall, who was an Iron Age leader who had his encampment in the village that I actually grew up in, not far from here, Llanbed de Goch. And they discovered, maybe about 10 years ago now, on a farm, not far from here, that this Iron Age sort of camp and settlement, and they found loads of very important artifacts there. So that's where that name comes from. So really, you can kind of call it what you want and you're not getting it wrong, which is unusual for Wales. Yeah.
you were talking about Mona, because Laura's been reading some books about the Roman invasion, and it's like the island is one of the few places the Romans just didn't get at all.
Mm.
I know they didn't really get Wales much.
No, they didn't get much of North and Mid and obviously West Wales, but Mona was like, where, you know when Boudicca sacked Colchester?
Big time.
That was because the governor at the time had led his troops up to try and take Mona, try and dig out the last of the Druids. So the removal of those legions was what left Colchester unprotected and made her able to sack it.
Well, I wish you were here a bit longer because you could meet my brilliant friend Maggie Noggy, who is a drag queen, and Chris, who is the creator of Maggie Noggy, is also the head of the Anglesey Druids, and I'm so sad you're not here
to
meet
Maggie
Chris.
Noggy the drag queen that you did the TV
show?
Oh, that was really... You did the Learning Welsh thing. That was really good show, that.
And also works in the daytime in a mortuary for the NHS doing autopsies. So is the most interesting human in the world. And so loads of my history has come from Chris. I call him Maggie. Chris, because Chris, as a druid, has a huge appreciation of the history and, you know, the landscape from here, and has taught me an awful lot and an awful lot about the Druids here. So they were pretty amazing because the front line of defence of the Druids were, they're called Furies, but they were the women who painted themselves black. There's an island right down on the Menai Straits called Black Rock, what I think is called Craig D, which is Welsh for Black Rock, where they would go and no men were allowed, and it's where they would do sort of their incantations, and they'd be almost naked fighting painted black, and people were terrified of them. And then you would have the Druids at the very back doing sort of divinations. But there would be, basically the first line of defence was these terrifying women, Druid women. Because what's amazing about the Welsh language is the village name will tell you the history of things. So the village I grew up in, for instance, Llanbed yr Goch, Bedr is a mutation of Peder, which is Peter, and Goch is a mutation of Coch, which is red. So it's just, the lad here was ginger and called Peter. So it's basically like Peter the Ginger Vicar, and that's his parish. But largely, your churches will be named after the parish and vice versa. But there's one on the island, Llan something, and I can't remember off the top of my head. I know there's a great Annie's Orphans there. And it's St Mary's Church. And in this parish is rumoured to be a resting place of the Virgin Mary. Now, of course, that's probably not true, but there was a lot of women knocking around that time being like, I'm the one with the Immaculate Conception. There's about 15 of them, and one of them is said to have pilgrimaged here because to meet the Druids, who by some factions were known as sort of the original Hebrews, that they thought there was some sort of link to them. And then they did, I think it's Bangor University, went to that very sacred site in the river, and they found that there was sort of the markings, like there was a grave there, like organic matter, but you couldn't tell what it was, whether it was animal or whatever. But they found a stone, and on it was marked the sign of the Virgo, which is for virgin. So there's like rumours that the that this is the one of the last resting places of the Virgin Mary. But I don't believe it. But it's lovely to say, isn't it?
It's a wonderful story. Hell of a walk from Bethlehem. He's not a donkey.
Yeah, you change a few donkeys there, wouldn't you?
No, we visited the Clan by PG, as you heard. Now, we were talking about the name of it, and I remember a stand-up routine you used to do where you would translate, but then the joke was that it was Change of 70s. And Laura asked me, is it, like, what does it mean, actuality, and is it a marketing tourism thing?
Well, it is a very a long description, some of the which I can't translate, but like Llanfair Pwllgwyn, so Pwllgwyn is the white pool, so okay, so ger is near, and then ogor at the end, ogor is cave, and gorch is red. So it's basically, it's like, it's sort of like near the white whirlpool, and there's some trees, and then there's a red cave. It's basically like you're going, go up there a bit, mate, and then turn left at the end, and then keep going. You're going to want to bear right, but actually bear left. It's basically a very long description of what it is.
There's an old yew tree. Well, there was 20 years ago.
And well, obviously don't drag yew tree into it. Come on.
We saw a yew tree, didn't we? They're a lot nicer than you'd expect.
With the white berries.
No, it's just a real twisty trunk, wasn't it?
Twisty trunk, really? Zero peds.
Okay, good.
All I want to do is make a nice podcast, and you have to keep ruining it.
So we had a lovely day on the island. For people that still are not sold, can you just try, why should people come and visit? Like, not necessarily what they should go and see, but why, if you're sat there going, what should I do today? Get in the car, come over the Menai Straits, and come to Ynys Mon.
Ynys.
You know what? Come to Anglesey.
Well, interesting. I think lots of people have already. So the population.
A lot of scousers here today.
Yeah, isn't there? The population of Anglesey typically is 70,000. And then my partner works at like a local sort of tourist attraction. And the council were there the other day chatting about some stuff. And a representative from the council said, so this must have been, I don't know when this podcast is going out, but it must have been sort of beginning of August. Can you guess how many people are on the island? So 70,000 typically.
I'm going to say 120,000.
Okay, right.
I'm going to say 121,000.
Oh, okay, 240,000.
That's too many.
It's too many. Yeah, so I would say it's wonderful to bring families. The air is one of the... We're in the top six cleanest airs. You don't want to go to Orkney. Like, who's going up there? Like, we're accessible. We're quite easy to get to. We're about 3 hours 15 on the train from London, and about 2 hours drive from Manchester. We're surrounded by beautiful beaches. It is an island. The food is pretty good, depending on where you go.
I was going to ask this, because that's the one thing missing from our day out, is we haven't really been anywhere for eating.
That McDonald's was superb.
Yeah, absolutely brutal, because for everyone listening, we have made them pizzas.
Well, yes.
My partner and I have been cooking the pizzas.
We just had wonderful pizzas with you, but we can't encourage people to listen to this podcast and then drop by your house.
Yeah, you've got curious as a pizza.
Drop your address in the show notes and they can drop it. But where should you go for, like, firstly, a lunch with kids. Secondly, a dinner. No kids. It's a sexy romance meal.
Okay, great.
Where should you go?
Oh, good thing. Right, with kids. Interesting. I mean, there's a long list of chippies I would recommend at different parts of the island.
Yes, please.
On my Instagram, I've got a thing called Ynys Mon Eats, because I forget everything and I put it in the highlights in there. Not that I'm pushing my social media.
Oh, please
do. In Benllech, which is sort of my side of the island, there's two chippies, and I would recommend Finney's, which also does vegan and gluten-free. And it's right next to the beach. And Benllech is beautiful, beautiful beach. There's also a really beautiful little vegan cafe in Menabridge called Green Olive, which is fantastic. It's tiny, and Olive, who runs it, is a really good egg and works really hard. and they've done brilliantly.
Can you be a good egg if you're vegan?
Yes, apparently you can, yeah, but it's that powdered wheat stuff that's got black salt in it.
It's chickpea water, really, isn't it?
She is a really good aquafaba, that's what she
is. Yeah. Aquavita's whiskey.
I think Aquavita is piss, right?
Great, well, vegan, no, not that, vegan, animal.
But I know that from the League of Gentlemen, where they say Aquavita, and it's when they drink their own wee.
My God, I watched it, I've just, completely irrelevant, I watched the live at Drury Lane the other day. How funny that is.
It's good, it's really good.
Right, I think that's, if anything else.
Oh, you and need? then no, posh dinner.
Oh, yeah. Yes, posh dinner.
Okay, so again, a little bit harder because we are vegos. Actually, I would really recommend, I've got a slight agenda here because they are my friends, but Halen Morn is the best salt in the world that you will ever have. Barack Obama had it in the White House. I'll send you some away with some because we've got loads here. And it's in Brunschenken and it's made in a completely unique way, which is why it's so good and has massive crystals. And it's the water from the Menai Straits. And it's just this gorgeous sea salt. But they also have a cafe there which has great coffee called Tide. And they do what they call like pop-up restaurants, like pop-up food. And the chefs they've had are absolutely incredible. And they sell out really quickly and they do it outside in this beautiful teepee overlooking the Menai Straits. You can see Carnarvon Castle, the whole of Snowdonia.
Kerry, thank you so much.
Yeah,
is that okay?
Perfect. For the pizza and the chat.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Those are my two things I succeed at.
I mean, is there anything that you want to plug? Are you doing, this will probably go out within
2 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, if you are on the island, I guess, yeah, go to Tide, because I do comedy nights there fairly infrequently. When I feel like I need to run out a new show, I'll go and do a gig there in a teepee, and it's really fun. So, yeah, that would be, I think there's another one at sort of the end of September. Yeah, but there'll be some coming up, because I've got to desperately get a tour together.
Great. And you can follow Kiri on social media. Mm-hmm. You are at Kiri Pritchard Muck.
MC, yeah.
On everything.
Yeah, Kiri Pritchard McLean, I think, on Instagram. And Kiri Pritchard MC on Twitter.
And your phone number is... nice one. Cheers, Kiri.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Well, we're at the... I want to call it a hotel to make us sound fancy, but we're in a youth hostel. That's where we are. That's who we are.
Yeah, we're here. We're in Conway.
Yes.
We drove past the castle walls.
I'd love it if we were the sort of people to get up early enough to go and look at that before we go tomorrow.
Now, maybe we could be those people, but we're leaving very early tomorrow. We're a long way from home. So, what a lovely episode.
What a lovely day.
A lovely chat with Kiri. A lovely day on Innismourne, Anglesey, Mona.
Yes. And if you've enjoyed it, please tell us. We put a lot of effort into these. I think you can hear it, and I think you can tell we have fun. But we love interacting with people that like the podcast. So we can be found on all social medias at Treasures Pod. That is us. You can email us, nationaltreasurespodcast@gmail.com.
And we have a Patreon if you really like us and you think, Christ, they sound tired. And they're definitely far away from their home. And we know that Will's car's a diesel. That's expensive. You can pay us some money at patreon.com/nationaltreasures.
We give you a lot for your money.
Do you know what? We do. Someone was saying to me the other day that they pay to 3 or 4 Patreons. And we are amongst the most, like, oh my God, this is actually worth it, rather than just paying things. Like, you get an extra weekly bonus podcast. You get a welcome pack. If you, in the levels, you get a live stream once a month. Laura will knit you something. I'll write you a song.
Yeah.
If you give us too much money, you can come and live with me. So somebody went to quite a high Patreon level the other day, and my girlfriend's now terrified that someone's going to, for a joke, give us £500 a month and then come and live with us.
Yeah, but they have to do that for like...
6 months.
No, I thought we'd made it years.
I think I made it 6 months.
Did we? Still worth it. So would you like to live with Will is what we're saying. Anyway, what a wonderful episode. We're going to sleep like the dead tonight. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hold up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.